Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, November 24th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guests are Kathy Kelly. She will be talking with us today about Afghanistan and Obama's secret war there. Not so secret at the moment, is it? Not so secret if you happen to be an Afghani family living up in the far north in Nuristan, where drone warfare continues apace. This as Chuck Hagel steps down, citing the fact that he wasn't prepared for ISIS and he wasn't prepared for Ebola or any other acronyms for that matter. Afghanistan is not an acronym. It's a real place. And so far they haven't come up with any flip sort of designation for that nation. What's going on there is so painful, so outrageously unlike anything imaginable. I saw Afghanistan a long time ago, and with all its troubles, nothing ever so awful happened. Nothing like this. It's heartbreaking to see it. We also have Jody McCaffrey is joining us with Citizens Against LNG. Breaking news last week, which of course got buried under much sexier things like ISIS and Ebola and Ferguson and all of this stuff that is unavoidable if you flip on any device that accommodate some an interest in whatever is, you know, the disaster of the day. So we tend to forget that events happening here have long-term effects. Events everywhere have long-term effects, but we are the ones that are going to be right in the crosshairs of these particular events. Right now, as the world knows or should know, down in Coos Bay, activists such as Jody McCaffrey, mainly Jody, have been fighting the proposed LNG terminal at Jordan Cove. First, it was going to be an import terminal, and then they realized there was no money in that, so they flipped the documents and made it an export terminal. It turns out that this monster is going to be belching out nearly as much particulate matter, nearly as much emissions as, wait for it, Boardman. That's right. Our national disgrace, coal-fired power plant. We're now proposing an LNG terminal which will be comparable and likely in the end worse than Boardman. Jody, good morning, and thanks so much for being with us again today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So this is just extraordinary. It just came out. Shouldn't we have? We should have known about this long ago, and we should know more about it now.
Yes, and I think it's really the draft environmental impact statement has been released by FERC. They're planning public meetings December 8th through the 13th, and we really need people actually looking at this pollution stuff. I have a kind of concerned. I mean, this is a 5,000-page document. I haven't gone through everything, but I noticed on the table of contents that FERC is having saying that the LNG vessels, the 420-megawatt South Dunes Power Plant, and the regional safety center, the utility connections, and the port activities are outside of their jurisdiction. And I noticed that they don't have a lot of stuff in here concerning the ships. So I'm really concerned that maybe they've eliminated some of the ship pollution and the vessels that support the ship from these pollution analysis. I don't know because I'm not a pollution expert, but if somebody could help us look at what they submitted previously in the prior EIS process, and now we would kind of know if they've done that. So it may be worse than what they're even saying.
Yeah, it very likely is. That's incredible. So there is no one running the store, and there's no one in charge as far as oversight and environmental stewardship for regarding the ships. I mean, these are huge super tanker things. If even one of them broke up off the shore of Oregon, nothing would ever be the same again. Forget about starfish. Everything would be gone. Shipping industry, gone. Tourist industry, gone. The many different creatures in the sea that provide the biochemicals that are used very often to make medicines, all that, gone. Everything, gone. It's unthinkable. What can be done now to leverage this new information that's come out, to leverage that to slow down this train wreck or stop it if possible? What I mean, it's you and a few other people down there, but what sort of maneuvers do you have available?
Well, we need to join forces and really look at this draft EIS and have people that, you know, have expert in some of these areas like pollution and environmental issues, safety issues, comment to the FERC. They're having you can come to their meetings that are December 8th through the 13th through Southern. They're scattered in different places in Southern Oregon. You can go to our website, Citizens Against LNG, and if you click on their notice of our latest blog post, there's a notice that tells where those meetings are going to be held. And then the comments are due by February 13th, and it would really be helpful if people out there that, you know have some kind of a knowledge base can look at this document and make sure that we don't let them get away with things like not including the ship pollution and stuff like that.
Jody, thank you so much. It's a wonderful talk to you, despite the fact that this is some good news in the sense it's leverage, and some bad news in the sense of if the thing gets built, we're all in for it. That was, of course, Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG with some more really stunning news, because finding that in a table of contents, wow, we need to be carefully keeping an eye on what goes on in Coos Bay. That said, we are also following the Burnaby Mountain protest against Kinder Morgan. That continues. There was an enormous number of arrests recently. 63 people since last Thursday were arrested up there at Burnaby in British Columbia. We turn now to Kathy Kelly, and as Chuck Hagel announces that he's leaving, and Obama announces that this was all planned long ago. What wasn't planned long ago, of course, as far as the public knows, but this was one of yet another of Obama's secrets, is Afghanistan. Kathy Kelly with Voices for Creative Nonviolence, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
So, This is pretty much extraordinary. Yet another secret of Obama's. How did he pull this off? And get us.
That the decision to have a limited combat troop presence remain in Afghanistan for another year was made some weeks ago, and it may be that because they didn't want to release the news before the elections, it was kept secret, and then it was leaked to the New York Times on Friday night, a time when it might be presumed that there wouldn't be a lot of news coverage. And so it's pretty clear, I think, that President Obama has been obeisant to the demands of the National Security Agency, maybe the CIA and the Pentagon generals. The Pentagon is asking for $58.3 billion for fiscal year 2015 for ongoing war in Afghanistan. And, of course, along with this secrecy here in the United States, very quietly, the new government in Afghanistan, the government of Ashraf Ghani, has said that they're going to resume night raids, something that President Karzai had forbidden since 2013. And these night raids don't require big sprawling bases. What's needed are people to do Joint Special Operations Commando Force night raids and attacks, and call in helicopter and drone air support for these attacks. And so it's almost guaranteed to exacerbate and prolong the war in Afghanistan.
And The question still remains: why $58 billion is being spent on this? Why terror tactics not seen since Nazis, I guess, in World War II? This is a terrifying thing, type of war being waged on essentially a civilian population. Because if you are, if you live on land. And it's the only land you know, and it's the only history that you know. It's your family going back generations. And it's under attack. Everybody's a militant. Everybody, wet man, woman, and child. Everyone. And knowing Afghanistan, I've been there. I know that the Afghani people, who are extraordinary, beautiful, gentle, I must say artistic, and the music is amazing. But at the same time, these are people who do not take invasion lightly, and they are never going to stop fighting. Do you figure Obama would consider a victory in Afghanistan? Are we there to wipe out everybody? Because they're all militants, because they're all fighting for Afghanistan. This is difficult to understand.
Well, it certainly is important to keep asking that question. Why does the United States want to continue this military presence? And I certainly can't give exact answers, but it does seem to me important to recognize that shortly after the bilateral security agreement was signed, the government of Turkmenistan, just to the north of Afghanistan, said, oh, okay, now we're ready to start making plans for the Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan-India pipeline, which would be a pipeline that could possibly allow for control of the pricing and flow of the natural gases and fossil fuels that exist up in the Caspian Sea Basin. So that could be one thing. And then certainly also the United States wants to continue its Asia pivot and encircle China and have bases in Afghanistan that might pose some kind of a threat to rivals in Russia and China. But the U.S. population has been vigorous in spite of all of the warmongering that is carried in major mainstream news. The population of the United States in polls has consistently registered opposition. There was a CNN poll in 2013 that said 82% of the U.S. public disapproves of this war.
And yet it goes on and on, and again, Obama's secrecy is enough to really give one pause. Just one final question for you. What do you figure would stop this? Another really enormous crisis somewhere else? What would put a stop to it? What would it take to stop it now?
Well, I think that the U.S. public has a responsibility not only to register its views when polls are conducted, but to become far more vigorous in saying that it doesn't want to cooperate with wars and that it sees that its own security is jeopardized by these wars, because people begin to hate the United States. And so what will stop it, I think, will be a concerted, steady, strong effort by every person who has a care for their children and their grandchildren and future generations to say that we don't want to continue to be a menacing, warlike presence on the planet, and that we need all of our resources to fight the real terrors we face, which are the terrors of what we're doing to our own environment.
Thank you so much for that, Kathy. We've been speaking, of course, with Kathy Kelly. We're delighted to have her back on the show. Thank you ever so much for that. Kathy Kelly, of course, is with Voices for Creative Nonviolence. And we will put a link to the website up on the KBOO website, and listeners can go to that. Voices for Creative Nonviolence is doing a lot of work all around the world, and will no doubt be familiar to listeners when we were talking about Gaza recently. So Thank you so much for the interview today, of course, but thank you so much for the work that you do all around the world. All of you at Voices for Creative Nonviolence, you're an extraordinary group of people. Thank you. That is just about it for Cascadia. Again, just a final note: Burnaby Boughton protest against Kinder Morgan continues apace, and warts and all, we do listen to our local NPR affiliate. Yeah, come on, admit it. No one's that pure. So it's imperative that those of us who care, not just about national public radio, but about the baffling decision to drastically reduce its staff dedicated to covering climate change and the environment. Yes, that's right. Leaving just one, count them, one part-time reporter on the beat. And more arrested as protesters. This has been a Cascadia for Monday, November 24th, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today. Thanks to that Kate Kathleen Stevenson, the KBO OAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks. But for many, the problematic history of the creation of this holiday casts a shadow on what Thanksgiving is supposed to represent. On Thanksgiving morning, on KBOO, we bring you Indigenous Voices on a Colonial Holiday. Tune in from 8 a.m. to noon for a series of special public affairs programs, including a conversation with local activist and founding member of Eradicating Offensive Native Masketry, Jacqueline Keeler. We will also hear the voices of Dr. David Lewis and Dr. Michael Yellowbird. We'll talk about history, politics, education, food, and how to decolonize Thanksgiving.